started. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And we'll read this just by way of a starting point. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our hearts now in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and for the opportunity of looking at your word this morning and studying it together. And as we do so, we pray that the things said and done would honor and glorify the name of Christ and would edify the saints, which in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. All right, today we want to continue our look at the body, soul, and spirit. You know, we've been using this little booklet, Are the Dead Really Dead, kind of as a starting point and a jumping off place to talk about the nature and the makeup of man and the destiny of man and what happens when someone dies and is there a conscious existence after death and all that sort of thing. And last week, we took a little detour for a week, and we're going to continue that today because one of the things that enters into all this, we've sort of settled the issue that there is a conscious existence after death, that the soul can leave the body and still exist in a conscious state, that there is identity. You know, this book is saying that when the spirit leaves the body, the soul ceases to exist and you basically don't exist anymore. But there is indication in Scripture, in fact, pretty clear teaching in Scripture, that that's not the case, that the soul can leave the body and still have a conscious existence. The next question you need to look at then is, well, what is that existence? Is it an existence of torment, an existence of comfort? What is the case after death? And when we start getting into that, we talked about the account there in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus and both going to hell and one in torments and one in comfort and all of that. And that got us into a discussion of hell and what it is and where it is. And we talked about that last week because it's important. And as we move on and understand, because one of the questions you need to think about is, well, if there is an existence, if you have a conscious existence after death, but before the judgment in Revelation, the great white throne judgment, then what, you know, on what basis then would you either be in hell or be in heaven, and is that where you would be? So we're going to get that in the next few weeks. But before we get there, we have to understand exactly what hell is. So we spent some time last week talking about and reviewing really what hell is and where it is. And I had some questions last week after the study, so we're going to kind of extend that a little bit and talk a little bit more about that today. Let's get two passages to start with. Let's get Psalm chapter 16 and Acts chapter 2. Psalm chapter 16 and Acts chapter 2. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about Hebrew and Greek and all that stuff. And as a general rule, you know, we don't do that, and I don't do that because, as I told you last week, it hurries me to speak English, let alone Hebrew or Greek or any other language. And we're doing it this morning not to, you know, not to to demonstrate an amazing knowledge of Greek and Hebrew, which would be impossible because I don't have that, but to demonstrate the accuracy of your King James Bible and that you really don't need to understand Greek and Hebrew to understand your Bible. But if you just read your English Bible the way we have it given to us in your King James Version, you can understand God's Word and you can understand His message to you and His truth. So let's look at these two passages to start with. Psalm chapter 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because as at my right hand I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So this is a prophecy of David about, we'll see in the book of Acts, about Jesus Christ. And if you look in Acts chapter 2, keep your hand there in Psalms so we can compare the two. Acts chapter 2, verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him. And now he's going to quote that prophecy from Psalm 16. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice. My tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So there's a quote, obviously, from Psalm chapter 16. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, quotes Psalm 16. It's recorded for us by Luke in Acts chapter 2. And we look at these two to understand the meaning of a Hebrew and a Greek word. The Hebrew word in Scripture that's translated hell most often is Sheol. And the Greek word that's translated hell most often is Hades. Now, some Bibles don't even translate those words. You'll see some Bibles that just say Sheol or Hades. When they do that, it's not really a translation, it's a transliteration. A transliteration is when you take a word in one language, like Sheol, and you just bring it into English. You replace the Hebrew letters with English letters, and you bring it into English, and you have that word, Sheol, which is a Hebrew word, but you've made it an English word. It's a transliterated word. So it's not really a translation. So when you do that, you're not really translating the passage. You're saying there is no word in English for this, so we're just going to bring this Hebrew word or this Greek word into English. And you'll hear people, especially the word Hades, you'll hear people use that in the English language all the time, quite often. Your King James Bible consistently will translate these words as hell, both of these words. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, thou will not leave my soul in hell. That's the Hebrew word Sheol there in Psalms. And in Acts chapter 2, and verse number, flip the page here. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 27, because thou will not leave my soul in hell. That's the Greek word Hades. In both cases, obviously in your King James Bible, it translates it with the word hell. So we know that the translators are telling us these are the same place. What the Hebrew Bible refers to as Sheol and what the Greek part of the Bible refers to as Hades, they translate with the word hell. Sometimes they'll use other words to translate these, occasionally grave or the pit, but far and away, the most often is translated as hell. Now, there's another word, and this is where the question came about last week. There's another word that's translated hell in your King James Bible, which is used by Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In fact, yeah, go to Matthew 5. We need to get that. And in Matthew chapter 5, I want you to keep your hand there, okay? And I want you to go back to the book of Joshua for a minute, because we should have gone there to begin with, but yeah, once I had you headed for Matthew, I didn't want to give you whiplash by heading you back to Joshua. So go back to the book of Joshua and get chapter 15. There's a place in Scripture that's called the Valley of Hinnom. Now, this Valley of Hinnom is interesting. We could do a big study just on this place and where it is. It's in the Middle East. It's south of Jerusalem. It's called by different names in Scripture. Just as, as we saw last week, we could say we're in the United States of America, and that would be a true statement. We could say we're in Pennsylvania, that would be a true statement. We could say we're in Altoona, that would be a true statement. All of those are true. They're just different ways to describe where we are. This place that we're going to study about this morning, the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, it's called the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. It is called Armageddon. And that's a name that you probably recognize more than the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. It's called Armageddon. It's called, the Greek word for it is Gehenna. Gehenna is the word that in the Greek is Hinnom. The Valley of the Son of Hinnom is Gehenna in the Greek. And that's the word that we're going to look at that Jesus Christ uses, and it is translated hell. Different names. So, and we'll see a couple of those names as we go through the study this morning. That's why I point them out. But they all talk about the same basic piece of real estate, the same basic place, this Valley of the Son of Hinnom, this place south of Jerusalem. Joshua 15 talks about it, verse 8, and the border went up by the Valley of the Son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite, the same is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the Valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the Valley of the Giants northward. So, if you took a map and plotted it all out, this is when he's dividing up the land and all that, there's this place that's talked about always called the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And it describes where it is and, it borders this and it borders that and it borders this and all of that. So there is this place, the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. Now, flip back, and I just wanted to give you that geographic reference. There's this place in the Old Testament called that. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ talks about, in Matthew 5, verse number 22, But I say to you that whosoever shall be angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, when Jesus Christ uses the word hell there, it's not the Greek word Hades. In fact, Jesus Christ wasn't speaking Greek, but the Greek in your Bible, as Matthew records what he said, he uses another word, and he uses the word Gehenna. It's a Greek version of that Hebrew Gehinnom, the valley of the son of Hinnom, in the Greek language becomes Gehenna, just like Elijah becomes Elias in Greek. So when you take a proper name and you take it from Hebrew to Greek, it's going to be a little different. Well, Gehenna is that same place, that valley of the son of Hinnom. And when Jesus Christ says that someone is going to be in danger of hellfire, he says Gehenna fire, or Matthew records it as Gehenna. Now, your King James Bible translates it as hell. And this becomes an important thing because some people will try to make a big distinction. People that don't believe there's any such thing as hell, one of the things they'll point to is Jesus Christ never used the word hell. So they'll say, because really, hell is a translation of Hades, and this Gehenna is not. Gehenna is just a place outside Jerusalem, south of the city, and they'll say that's where Jerusalem, that's where they dumped all their trash, and that was their, like, their garbage dump, and there was a big fire that was burning there all the time, burning all this garbage. And so he was just saying, you know, we're going to throw you out there in the garbage heap. He wasn't really talking about hell and eternal fire and all of that kind of thing. So it's kind of important to understand, why is this word Gehenna translated as hell in your Bible? And if you look down to verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Again, same word, Gehenna. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. It is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Again, Gehenna. Turn over to Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, he uses the same word, translated again the same way with the word hell. Mark chapter 9, verse number 43. Mark 9:43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. And here he describes hell, into the fire which never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So he describes hell as a place where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So hell is a place of fire. Now remember, Jesus Christ, both in Matthew 5 and here in Mark 9, is pointing you out to the kingdom. He's pointing you to the time when he will be ruling and reigning here on the earth. And when he talks about somebody being cast out into Gehenna, he's talking about them literally, we're going to take you and cast you out into Gehenna, into hell fire. So there's a time frame involved with this. The time frame is the kingdom. He says it again here two more times in Mark chapter 9, verse 45. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, under the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, again, Gehenna, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, so why does he call Gehenna hell? Let me say that a different way. Number one, why does Jesus Christ use the word Gehenna, or why does the Bible writer, Matthew and Mark, use the word Gehenna to describe this place that Christ talks about? And why does your King James translators translate it as hell? When we studied last week, we saw, you know, hell describes... I'm getting pretty good at drawing those circles, huh? That's not bad. It's almost a circle, but... Hell describes a geographic location in the heart of the earth. We talked, in Numbers chapter 16 about the earth splitting open and swallowing them down quick, alive, into the pit. So hell is not a condition. Hell is a place. It's a geographic place, the location in the center of the earth, that in time past, dispensationally, had both torments and comfort. That's the account in Luke chapter 16. It's called, this place is what you read in the Bible as being called the bottomless pit. It's called the bottomless pit because if you're here on the earth and you go down, 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 down to here, right to the center, as soon as you pass the center, now what are you doing again? You're going up. Now, it looks like you're going down because I'm drawing it on a board here, two-dimensional board. But if you're on the earth, remember the cartoons, Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner, that, they would dig a hole through and, see the old ladies in the back, they remember. They would dig a hole through and they come up in China, Well, that's when you start down here, as soon as you get to the center of the earth, the heart of the earth, you start back up. So if you have a sphere, which is what the earth is, with it's hollow inside, then you have and in there is the bottomless pit. Because what's at the bottom here? There's nothing at the bottom. It's open. It's hot. If you can picture a softball in a basketball, and the softball is hollow. So you've got a hollow ball inside this sphere, inside this earth. And that's why it's called when I was a kid, I used to think of the bottomless pit. You throw somebody out there, and they just fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and fall forever. And that's the bottomless pit. But the bottomless pit is a reference to this place in the heart of the earth where you're at the bottom, but there is no bottom. There's nothing there. So it's the bottomless pit. So that's hell. Now, Jesus Christ talks about this place, and we'll just put it up here. This place called Gehenna that is outside Jerusalem, that's up on the surface of the earth. And he talks about people there suffering in fire. He talks about the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And the translators translated this place up here in the surface of the earth with the same word they used to translate this place down here in the center of the earth, hell. So why is all that? Well, we need to understand what this place up here is and what's going to happen to it to understand that. So let's go back again to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua again. Now we need to go further than that. I've got to find the right page in my notes here so I know where we're going. Go back to Joshua chapter 15 for a second. And we'll look at the valley. Joshua chapter 15 and verse number 8. Joshua 15 and verse 8. And this describes, as soon as I get there, Joshua chapter 15 and verse 8. This valley, the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite. The same is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward. So there is this description there of this geographic location. Remember when we talked to you about hell, we kept talking about the fact that it's a specific geographic location. Well, the same thing is true of this, Gehenna. It's describing a specific geographic location. Turn on over in the book of Joshua to chapter 18 and verse 16. Joshua chapter 18 and verse number 16. And Joshua 18, 16. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 16. The right page here. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusai on the south, and descended to Enrogel. So again, here's this description of the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now, what happened in the valley of the son of Hinnom? Well, turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. in order to, it's one thing to know, okay, it's a geographic location, it's a place on the earth and all of that. But it's another thing to understand what is it exactly that happened in the Valley of the Son of Hinnom that made it such a unique place, that made it a place where that would be associated with hell. Jeremiah chapter 7, let's look at verse number 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which they call by my name, to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Now, there's another word introduced there, verse 31. They have built the high places of Tophet. Now, we're not going to go through all of this stuff, but you remember, when Israel built the high places, it was so they could worship idols. It was to do sacrifice to other gods, to the gods of Baal, to the gods of Molech was one of those Baal gods that they worshipped. And part of that sacrifice is that they would burn their sons and their daughters. They built a place, built this high place of sacrifice called Tophet. Those high places that they built were called Tophet. And in those high places of sacrifice that they built, what they would sacrifice to other gods was their children. They burned their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. So the children of Israel built these places, built these high places of Tophet to use as sacrifice. Where did they build them? Well, verse 31 says, they built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. So this place, this valley of the son of Hinnom, this place that Christ calls Gehenna, the Greek word Gehenna, is this place where Israel burned their sons and their daughters. Keep your hand right here in Jeremiah, because we're coming back, and go back to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. And in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 1. You see here righteous King Josiah. When the Israelites would build these high places, when an evil king reigned, then you'd get a righteous king that would come. Here's a righteous King Josiah, and listen to what he does. Chapter 23, verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and all the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So they're going to take the book of the law of God. They're going to read it. The nation's going to repent and come back to him. And look over into verse 10. What did this king do, righteous King Josiah? And he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man may make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. One of the things that righteous King Josiah did was defile that place, get rid of the Tophet, get rid of that place of Tophet, get it out of there so that they would no longer sacrifice their children, make their sons and their daughters pass through the fire. You know, some people will try to make a big deal out of the fact, oh, that Jews' religion, it was so bloody, and they sacrificed all those animals, and they did this, and they did that. But you understand, the people that were in the land before Israel came didn't sacrifice animals to God. They sacrificed people to their false gods, their sons and their daughters. And the problem here in Israel is that when they came into the land, instead of driving out those people, they began to take up those practices and sacrifice their sons and their daughters to false gods, to Molech, to build the high places of Tophet. So when a Jew hears that word, Gehenna, Valley of the Son of Hinnom, they're thinking that's what happened there. It was a place of terrible sin, a place of human sacrifice to false gods. Now go back to Jeremiah again, the rest of the passage that we were looking at in chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And verse 31, as we read, they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Topheth. So that high place to sacrifice your children called Topheth, it's not going to be that anymore. It shall not be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom. It won't be called that anymore either. But it will be called the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Topheth till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the streets of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. So God says, I'm going to take that place, the valley of the son of Hinnom, that place where they built the high places of Topheth, and I'm going to change its name. It's going to become the valley of slaughter. Why? For they shall bury in Topheth till there be no place. They're going to bury people in Topheth till there's no more place to bury them. And then the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field are going to come and eat the carcasses that are there. Now, does that sound like some other place to you? Any place in Scripture that you read about something like that? Your mother has it right. Never. Yeah. Revelation, you read about that, don't you? You read about, let's call the birds of the air and the beasts of the field to the supper of the great God. Let's turn over there to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. There is a place that talks about God coming and the supper of God and calling the beasts of the field and all of that. And it's Revelation 19. If you look at... where do we want to start? Verse number 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of all them that sit upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So he calls the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven to come and to dine, to eat. And if you look down to verse 21, you see what they're going to eat. The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. They shall bury in Topheth till there be no place, and the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field will come and eat. It's that place that's described here in Revelation 19. It's the place back earlier in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 16. Let's go back there. Revelation 16 and verse 16. Revelation 16, 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of heaven, out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, it is done. This place called Armageddon. We've studied about it. We've read about it, where the blood flows to the horses' bridles, and there's this mass slaughter. It's called the Valley of Slaughter. It's also called in Scripture the Valley of Decision, because it's a place where you got to decide now whose side are you on. But it's all talking about this place, Gehenna. It's the place where Israel sacrificed their children. It's the place where King Josiah said, I'm going to tear that stuff down when we turn back to God. It's the place where God says, I'm going to transform it from the valley of the son of Hinnom to the valley of slaughter. It's the place described in Revelation 19 where Jesus Christ returns and there's this great battle, what Revelation 16 talks about and calls Armageddon. what Jesus Christ calls Gehenna and what your King James Bible calls hell. Now, how does all that stuff fit together? Does it all fit together, or is it just a bunch of random facts? Well, it all fits together in this. When Jesus Christ returns, if you look there in chapter 19 again, shouldn't have had you turn away from chapter 19, the remnant, verse 21, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Jesus Christ returns, and a sword goes out of his mouth, and the remnant that sit upon the horses are slain with that sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. And that sword that proceeds out of his mouth is that flame of fire that comes. It's that judgment that comes. It's that fire that falls upon them. As it was in the days of Lot, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes, Luke says. And that fire falls and that flame comes. And turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And get also Luke chapter 17. Let's get those. We should look at that. I quoted it from Luke, but we should look at it while we're reading it. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and Luke chapter 17. What is it when he comes? The remnant are slain with that sword that proceeds out of his mouth. And the sword's called the Word of God in one place. He has eyes as a flame of fire there in the book of Revelation. Luke chapter 17, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Luke chapter 17. Deuteronomy 32. And let's see what it is exactly that happens at the return of Christ as he comes back and as these armies are slain before him. Luke 17 says this, verse 29. In the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So fire and brimstone rained down from heaven on the cities of the plain. Lot leaves. Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, they're burned up. Notice verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when what? When the Son of Man is revealed. When the Son of Man returns, hellfire and brimstone rain down. Destruction rains down. That's the remnant that are slain. They're slain not just in a normal way. They're slain with that fire and brimstone that comes out of the Lord's mouth when he returns. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, let's look to verse 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now notice what he says yet next. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn to the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Now there's a description there of something that happens. A fire is kindled in mine anger. So that fire is kindled. What's that fire going to do? Well, that fire is going to burn to the lowest hell, and it'll consume the earth when it's increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Now, if you were to kindle a fire, and of course, when Jesus Christ returns, that fire is going to be on the surface of the earth. It's burning up those armies of the nations on the surface of the earth, out here somewhere in the surface of the earth. A fire is kindled in my anger, but that fire that's kindled in my anger shall burn unto the lowest hell and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Now, if a fire is going to burn, going to start on the earth, on the surface, and burn to the lowest hell, and set on fire. Where's the foundation of the mountains? Up here or down here? Right here. Because remember, you're going through You're at the bottom. Now you start back up. So the foundation of the mountains is right here in the center, because that's as low as you can go. You start up the other side, the foundation. And it's, what else does he say? So it sets on fire the foundation of the mountains. It burns to the lowest hell. Well, where's the lowest hell? Well, again, right there. Well, if it's going to go from the surface of the earth to the lowest hell, what does it have to go through to get there? The earth. Well, you know, the verse says, it consumes the earth with her increase. You know, and I'll just make this statement in passing, that hellfire is referred to as her in the Bible. So, hellfire, I make no editorial comment, it's just a fact. So hellfire comes to the surface of the earth, it sets on fire the foundation of the mountains, but first it consumes the earth with its increase. So, now the question is, well, where does all this happen? The Valley of Slaughter, the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 31. When the Lord comes back and defeats Antichrist, defeats the Assyrian, he's called in prophecy. Isaiah 30, verse 31. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps. And in battles of shaking will he fight with it. For Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. That Tophet, those high places they built, for the king it is prepared. All this was in God's plan from the beginning. It's ordained of old. For the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. How deep is it from here, the surface of the earth, down to here? That's as deep as you can go. How large? Well, that'd be a big fire. If all that caught on fire, that'd be a big fire. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. Did you ever build a bonfire and you just put little straw at the bottom, then you put bigger sticks and bigger sticks and bigger sticks and big logs and but what do you need to start all that? So the pile of it is fire and much wood. It's deep and large and there's a big pile there. But once you have that big pile of wood, what do you need to really get your fire going? A match, a light. You need some source of ignition. Well, verse 33 there says, the breath of the Lord, like a stream of what? Brimstone. Remember, Luke says, fire and brimstone came down on Sodom and Gomorrah, and so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Here comes the Son of Man. Here comes the breath of the Lord, that fire that proceedeth out of his mouth, like a stream of brimstone doth kindle it. This is the original bad breath right here. The breath of the Lord sets that on fire. And it burns. He comes. The fire proceeds out of his mouth. He destroys this place that Israel used to sacrifice their children. I'm going to make it the Valley of Slaughter. And that fire and brimstone is going to start. It's going to destroy the armies of the nations. And it will consume the earth with its increase. And it will ultimately set on fire the lowest hell and the foundations of the mountains. And that fire burns to the lowest hell. So, when your King James translators translated this word as hell, they're doing it with the understanding this place becomes associated with this place at the return of Christ. In fact, get two passages, Isaiah chapter 5 and Isaiah chapter 14. There's two passages that talk about the destruction and judgment of Antichrist and his followers. Here's one in Isaiah 14, and listen to what it says. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. How would you move hell? Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee. Not only that, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory, their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Isaiah 5:14, hell hath enlarged herself. So there's a piece of real estate gets annexed to hell. If we said, okay, we're going to take the city of Altoona, and the city of Altoona is going to reach out and annex Hollidaysburg or Bellwood, whatever. So this is Altoona, and now Hollidaysburg's out that way, and we reach out and we annex that, and now Hollidaysburg becomes what? Altoona, part of Altoona. So if hell is here, and the breath of the Lord ignites this fire and burns down into the lowest hell, and hell reaches out and consumes Gehenna, then what does Gehenna become? Part of hell. And how would you translate Gehenna then? If you're translating a passage that is about that time when the Lord returns and his breath has ignited this fire and hell has reached out and consumed, what would you call Gehenna then? You'd call it hell. And that's why it's translated hell in your Bible. You know, you say, well, they didn't understand. That was just a garbage dump. And, you know, they had this weird idea about hell that it was punishment and eternal and blah, blah, blah. No. They understood. They just understood that exactly what the verse says. Hell hath enlarged herself. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. Speaking of Antichrist. And hell is moved, becomes a part, and Gehenna and hell on earth. And we'll talk about that a little more as we talk about the destruction. But when Jesus Christ says that you'll be cast out into hell during the kingdom, if you sin, you're cast out into hell, he really means it. Because right here is hell. Isaiah 66 says, look on the carcasses of them that have transgressed the length of the law of God, for their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Look right out there and see those people that transgress against the law of God. Because if you didn't pluck out your eye or cut off your hand and you sin in the kingdom, what happens? You're cast out into hellfire. So, this Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, they're all referenced to a geographic location to hell and the extension of hell to the surface of the earth during the kingdom reign of Christ at his return. So, as I said at the beginning, we don't talk about Greek and Hebrew and all that a lot because, frankly, I don't know Greek and Hebrew and don't want to know Greek and Hebrew. And you have an English Bible that is accurate. And this morning was to illustrate a couple of things. Number one, to help us understand the geography of all of this. But number two, to help us understand, if you just understand when your Bible uses the word hell, you just let it alone. You don't have to transliterate it. You don't have to redo it. You don't have to do anything. It is what it means. It's hell. And now next week, we'll begin to talk about, well, what about these places and who goes where after death and what does that all mean? So we'll talk about that next week. All right, let's bow our hearts on a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and for the opportunity of looking at your word and studying it together. And as we do so now, we pray that the things said and done have brought honor and glory to the name of Christ and been edifying to the saints. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, let's all stand and sing He is Lord as we're dismissed this morning. Don't forget Wednesday evening, Keith, on the prognostications of the prophets. So we hope to see, and barring any automobile accidents, I'll be here Wednesday evening to hear about those prognostications. Or floods. You weren't here because of the flood. Well, I don't know what to tell you about that. You know, just get a boat. I guess what you need to do is get a boat. And do this week also please be remembering Tammy's family in prayer. Tammy's mother, you know, has been battling with cancer for many, many years, actually. And so as she approaches the end, just do remember Tammy and her whole family in prayer. And of course, anytime something like this happens at the holiday season, it makes it even more emotionally difficult to handle. So please do remember the Shoup family in prayer. Well, Tammy Shoup, anyhow. Yeah, Ray, the Ray family. Yeah, Tammy's family in prayer. All right, let's have a word of prayer as we're dismissed. Our God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and the opportunity of gathering this morning, and we just pray that as we've done so, that the name of Christ was honored and glorified and the saints were edified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.